Mr. Turco Stevens, Reel 6. You were just telling me, Mr. Stevens, about the illness of your eldest child when he was in India. Could you tell us?
Yes. My wife had just arrived in India, and I was then stationed at Mathura. I met her, and just after we got to Mathura, to the station, my eldest child had diarrhea, and this apparently was, they said, was a green diarrhea. So I got him to the MO, and he'd gone down from 22 pounds, he was 10 months old, and he'd gone down from 22 pounds to about 11. So the doctor, he said, I can't understand what this really has caused this, but he gave us various medicines and one thing other, but it made no difference. My wife was told by another lady to use Robinson's patent groats, and she used this on the child, and it immediately began to get better. So the MO told me, I was posted to Karachi, and the MO told me that if I cared to take the risk, I'd have to go down through the sin, but if I cared to take the risk, it would be much cooler in Karachi for me, because the temperature down there would be about in the 90s. So I said I would. So I went down, I got as far as Lahore, and I bought some ice, a maund of it, about 80 pounds, that is.
And, a maund is an Indian measurement, of course.
Yes, an Indian measurement. And I put that in the centre of the carriage, closed the shutters, and put the fans on. And that cooled it down. And we went right down through the Sindh at that time to Hyderabad, through Hyderabad Sindh, and to Karachi. Terrible journey, but my child got better after that. Everything turned out as it should have done.
What type of recreation did the children have?
Oh, not a great deal. They used to play about with themselves, play about with the other children that was at school, you know, just ordinary little school games and things like that, around about the barracks and that. Not a great deal for them.
Did they get bored easily then?
No, not exactly bored, because we bought them cycles. We got them cycles, and they used to be able to ride around on the cycles. One lad used to enjoy himself. He used to meet the RSM every morning. He used to throw him up a salute. And the RSM used to tell him, "Not yet, my son."
Did the routine differ for the soldiers in quarters as compared to those in barrack rooms? Did they have a different routine?
No, you just did the same kind of prayers. Your orders were published, and your prayers were published for that particular day, and that was the day before you noticed it, and you got those, carried out those duties as you were detailed for. If I was detailed as the orderly sergeant for the day, then I had to carry out those duties and collecting guard reports and all those kind of things, you know.
Did you have Indian servants?
Oh yes. We had, in my case, we had a boy. A young chico, we called him.
Chico?
A chico.
Means boy.
It means boy, a young boy. We had him, he was a good little kid. And
how old is he?
Oh, he's only about 15. And he used to look after our boys. He was very clean in that. We more or less taught him things. And he was a good little kid, and he used to run all the errands for my wife, one thing. And then we had an ayah. When the kids were particularly young, we had an ayah.
A nurse.
Look after the kids. And she was a very... When we were in Karachi, she was with us, and she was very, very loyal with the children. She would sit out most of the evening, take them out in the evening, and they were no trouble to us, you see. And she would look after them. Even if we wanted to go to a dance in the evening or across the sergeant's mess, she would take care of them in the quarters. Her husband would be outside and, you know, looking after her. And she'd be inside where the kid is. Then you'd go periodically, you'd go and see if your children were all right. Now. But it was never any trouble. They were very, very low. They were some good servants. I remember one, of course, when you go from station to station, immediately you get there, all these Indians that they turn up they, with their chitties, you know, their little recommendations from various people. And I remember once one coming up and he said, "Oh, Sabi," he said, "you have a look at this special one." And on it was a sergeant that employed him, a sergeant and his wife had employed him as a cook bearer. And he said, this chitty read, to anyone thinking of employing a cook bearer, give this one a wide berth. So it was marvelous, really. But just for his cheek, I gave it, because he thought this was his trump card, you see.
So the 15-year-old boy that you had was what you call a cook bearer.
Yes.
So apart from the cooking, he fetched and carried, did the shopping for you, did he?
Yeah. My wife used to like to do most of her own cooking, as long as she could, but this chick we used to take, you know, he used to do things.
What other jobs did he do?
He would clean my boots and or the kids' boots or anything like that, obviously. And he'd take the boys out and things like that, you know.
What about sweeping and cleaning?
Oh, yeah, yes, he would do that. He would do that, but my wife used to prefer to do most of her cleaning with the...
Was he a Muslim or a Hindu?
Pardon?
Was he a Muslim or a Hindu?
He was an Hindu, yeah.
From United Provinces?
Yes.
How did you obtain your bearer and your ayah?
They used to come with their chitties and one thing and the other, you see.
So you obtained them in that way.
Yeah.
You had a group of people coming.
Yes.
So how did you select these two? Just by going by the chitters?
Yes, by the chitters and that, because some of them were very genuine, you know. Some of the wives and that who'd gone to England used to always give them a chitty when they left, you know. And they said, well, this ayah, for instance, has been with me for so many years and always found her very honest or things like that, you see.
So you found that there was a lot of competition
jobs? Oh, yes, there was a lot of competition.
Was this because of unemployment? Or
yes.
Were they better paid?
Masses of... There's so many people about doing nothing, really, you see.
What type of pay did you give them?
Well, generally, the rates were generally around about the same, average rates and that, all about. You see, you give them a bit of extra now and then if they'd done a good job. You never mean with them, if they were doing their job properly and good.
Did you pay them by the week or by the day or by the month?
Pay them by the week. Always every week.
And you found that they were very good servants?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, did other people find their servants satisfactory or were there grumbles?
Some of them wouldn't keep them long. And others, well, speaking for ourselves, we had some good one, because I moved a lot. I travelled a lot in India, and from quarters to quarters, and I used to take the ayah, if possible. I took that ayah from Karachi, I took her right up the north, and her husband came with her. I took them right up the north with her because they were so good with our kiddies, and when you get a good one, you don't get rid of them so easily. So, but I never had any trouble with servants, and I think most people were the same. But if they did find one that wasn't doing his job, then he was gone. Immediately he went, there was someone else round about for his job. There was no lack of...
Did most people find them trustworthy?
Oh, I think so. Yes, I think so.
So, in the case of your ayah, she came from United Provinces, did
she? Yes.
And
yes.
But she came with you wherever you went, and her husband came.
Yes.
Did you have any children?
No. She was getting on quite a bit, but she was a faithful girl, you know.
Which provinces in India were best liked by the troops?
And now I think you've got me there. I should think the Punjab. I should think the Punjab.
Why was that?
Well, the type of people, I think the type of the people, they were more Sikhs than anything, I think, up around in the Punjab. And I think the, of the two, I think the Sikhs were better than the others. Whether I'm speaking for all troops now, I don't know, but I think that was the Punjab that most troops not like, because Rawalpindi, for instance, was a real good station up there. That was a real good station. I was in Rawalpindi in 1920-21. I was up there again in 1935, after the operations I went to Pindi. And I liked it. I liked Rawalpindi very, very much.
Why do you think that the Sikhs were preferred to many other groups in India?
Well, I won't say not so much of the civilian, but from the army point of view, put it that way. I think the Sikhs were more loyal after the Gurkha. I think the Sikh came next. I'm speaking from an army point of view.
Which groups or provinces were liked least by the army?
Now, I think you got me now. I think you got me now.
I mean, were there any provinces which the army would definitely not like to have been posted to?
I don't think they liked so much the United Provinces as the Punjab. I should think the United Provinces.
What did they think about Bengal and the Bengalis?
Never had much to do with them, did they? Not really.
And the Madrasas, did they have anything to...
Well, I was never down that way, because I can't speak much for Madras and that, but we used to have people stay out there after they completed their service on the police and had to go to Madras.
Did you see very much of the local towns outside the cantonments?
Well, most cities outside the cantonment, they have a cantonment and they have a city. Well, most of the city is out of bounds to troops. So I can't say a great deal about that. I have been into Firozpur city, but I can't say a great deal about him.
Did you ever feel uneasy when you were going about cities like Firozpur?
No. Funnily enough, I used to go for walks everywhere about the country, journal my life out now. Even when I was married now, I used to go for longish walks now.
You always felt safe,
didn't you? I always felt safe, yeah.
You were mentioning earlier about some of the Pathans there, about how, you know, the way they looked at you, and did you ever feel uneasy in the Northwest Frontier?
Yeah, that was the Kasadars and that. Those people had been armed and that, they were more or less tribesmen protecting you. Hmm. On the way up to Razmak, when we used to go up, you'd see these Kasadars and that era there with their rifle, you know, and the old Lee-Enfield, 1914 Lee-Enfield rifle. And they used to look at you, and their looks used to almost put you off, you know.
Did you get out into the country very much, like on shooting parties and so?
Oh, yes, yeah. We used to go out not far from Delhi, outside Delhi. We used to go out and shoot in parties. We used to take a lorry out, and we used to go out to what they called geels, and that's...
Geels?
Geels, like little lakes and that, see? And we used to go out and get wild duck. And then we used to go across country for bucks. And... Zamba. We used to go out shooting that, and we used to...
What's that?
Zamba's like a cow affair.
Zamba?
Zambas, mm-hmm. Yeah. And
like a wild yes, cow, a buffalo.
Yeah, like that. And we used to always take out the 30 underweight lorry. We used to go out the 30 underweight lorry. And about 8-10 of us used to go out. And we used to shoot like a partridge, and these buck nuts.
What about animals in India? Were you ever nervous about snakes or anything of that kind?
I've met them. I've seen snakes. My wife is terribly fond of them. Terribly frightened of snakes, and one thing and the other. But I've seen cobras and that around about, but never worried me. I've never worried about them. But of course, all snakes are out there and nasty, ain't
they? Did any of the soldiers ever get bitten by snakes?
I've never known of a soldier get bitten. The only one I've known nipped was a beastie, an old Indian beastie.
Water carrier?
No, a water car is a beastie. An old sweeper. He used to sweep out the backs of the latrines and one thing, you know. Well, he got nipped with a cobra. He got nipped between the thumb and forefinger, there.
And, but no soldiers ever?
No, never knew a soldier.
Did you take any interest in Indian arts and customs, like... the buildings like the Taj Mahal and Red Fort and so on, and temples, sculpture, handicrafts.
Never took a real interest. I've seen them. I've been to them. I took my wife to the Taj when she got out there first. When she came out first of all, I took my wife to the Taj because I was out there at Agra. I was playing hockey. And after the match, I took her to the Taj, and she thought that was a wonderful building, and it certainly is, but as far as anything else goes, that's it.
What Indians did you meet apart from these servants? Obviously you came into contact with servants mostly, but did you come into contact with Indians? You told me about Indian soldiers you used to meet in sports and so on. Did you come across, did you have any contact with Indians other than servants and other soldiers?
Not really, only contractors and those kind of things, you see. They would speak to you, they, and in some of these tournaments and that, they'd be on the line, you know, watching the tournaments, one thing and the other, and they would just speak to you, but only the men. Of course, the women and that used to be in Perder, didn't they? See, they, you'd be going along a road, and a man would be coming along with his wife or two wives, whatever the case may be, and as soon as they see a white man coming along, down comes the old Perder, and you're not supposed to look at it.
And of course, you came across shopkeepers. And
oh yes, yeah.
What impression did you have of the shopkeepers?
Robbers, twisters. Yeah.
Did you have to haggle for?
Oh yeah.
Over
always.
The prices.
Yes, yes. Offer them half, and then you're on the right side if you want anything.
Did they charge you the same as they did the Indians?
They charge you more than Indians because they thought they might get away with it. But as I say, if you offer them, if you want anything in particular, you offer about half, you'll be on the right side.
Did you make any Indian friends or meet any Indian families, go to their homes or anything like that?
No, never met any Indian friends, neither, not even Anglo-Indian. Never went to any of their homes or anything. But they're out in the country. They live like rabbits, didn't they? Old mud huts out in the country. I don't know if you ever went out in the country at all. But out in the country, they had such dirty habits, didn't they? You see, there, if you or I went to a river and drank a drop of water, we'd be down with typhoid, but not them. They'd be up one end, the stream's running down this way, they'd be up there drinking, messing themselves and wiping themselves with their old chatty. Then a little bit farther down, they'd be washing some clothes and that. And then farther down, they'd be filling up chattis and that, take away to drink. And yet, if you or I did a thing like that, we'd be down with typhoid. See, if you go out with animals, we used to have mules and that for transport and yield. If you get to a camp and that, and you water animals, you always water them the opposite side to your drinking water, if you drink. We used to take drinking water for troops and that from the river and boil it. You watching that?
What about your feelings about India as a whole? Did you enjoy India?
Oh, yes. I preferred being in the army in India than in England. Oh, yeah.
So did you regret leaving, or were you glad to get out of India?
No, I came back earlier than I need have done. Only thing was that I came home in 37. I could have gone on to 1940, but my family came home for education, so I completed a tour of 21 and over. So I preferred to come on home with my family then.
But did you regret leaving, or were you glad?
Oh, I missed it. Hmm. Oh, I missed it terribly. Not only the army, but the life and that in general, and the friends that you meet in the services. You miss it. It smacks you. It's in all the wrong places when you leave.
So would you ever like to go back to India again?
Not as a civilian. Not as a civilian. If I had my time over again, the services, I'd do the same thing again. Oh, yeah.
You said earlier on that you sometimes came across railway staff, you know, other Europeans working on the railways and civil servants, people of this kind, other Europeans who were working in other capacities in India, other than the army. When you came across them, did you find that their attitude to India and Indians was different to the attitude of them?
Yeah.
In what way?
Their attitude was, what should I say, their attitude was that they're European and the others are their servants. That's a kind of an attitude. I'm afraid that was the same with the British and Indians generally. That they were the servants, we were the top dogs kind of thing.
Was this attitude the same in the army?
I think so, yes. Oh yes, I think so.
So there was no difference in that respect between the army and the Europeans who were businessmen or civil servants?
Oh no.
What was the attitude of... Oh, you didn't come across Anglo-Indians. You didn't come across them very much, did you?
No.
Did you think it was odd or natural to be in India? For the British to be in India?
Well, we used to say... I remember once walking around the fort in Ferozepur with an Irishman, and he said to me, "This standing by," he said, we were standing by for 3 days. He said, "This standing by," he said, "gets on my bloody nerves." He said, "Excuse me, sir," but he said, "Why don't we give this country back to old Gandhi and apologise for keeping it so long?" And, well, that seemed the attitude with quite a few. But it was life, I suppose. You see, we used to stand by and we used to enjoy it because, after all, it was their country, wasn't it? It was their country. But right from the mutiny, I think, things from the time I went out there first,